Ladies and gentlemen, this is a emergency broadcast of the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I was able to scare up a few people appropriately using that term. Jason Block, Tyler Brown, Josh Henniger are joining me tonight as we bring you very, very sad news. Jason, you have the article in front of you.
Yes, I do. WWE.com released a statement this evening saying that legendary manager William Moody, who people know as Paul Bearer, passed away tonight at the age of 58. He says, WWE said, quote, WWE is saddened to learn the passing of William Moody, a.k.a. Paul Bearer. Moody made his WWE debut in 1991 as the manager of The Undertaker and went on to become a memorable part of WWE over the course of the next 20 years. Our deepest condolences go out to Moody's families, friends, and fans. And I'm going to try and bring in Brian right now as well, because I think
just saw him log in. Bring him in.
Got it. So I'm gonna first go around the table, if I may. Joshua, what do you think about this sad news?
I'm speechless. To be honest, I really thought that Paul was going to, you know, live for another 10, 20 years. He was going to die peacefully in his 70s, and we'd be okay with it. At this time, especially as Taker is heading towards Mania to face off against CM Punk, yeah, this is going to play in Taker's mind. It's going to play in all of ours.
Tyler?
Yeah, absolutely speechless. Like I said, I was just at home just relaxing. And if you check out his website right now, there's now, of course, I'm sure they haven't had a chance to update the website because everything on his website just looks as normal. It's a picture of Paul Bearer with him, Undertaker, and Kane, and different things where I guess it's showing who he's basically managed. But wow, just took me right off guard. You know, I've had a lot of respect for Paul Bearer because of his roots, his Southern roots, as well as just, you know, being an excellent manager, being able to play the role, you know, at the time when, that long before there was the corporate ministry and the Undertaker that we know of now and nowadays, Paul Bearer was the Undertaker's voice there for a long time. And honestly, words can't express how much of a loss this is. And honestly, if we don't hear any, it depends on the timing. They probably won't. They could probably cut in a package real quick for SmackDown on Friday. But honestly, if we don't see a tribute on Monday night, a major form of tribute from The Undertaker, I would honestly be incredibly surprised.
Brian, the reason why I brought you in, I do not know if you have heard the news yet.
About Paul Bearer?
Yes, that's why we're recording now. What are your thoughts about Paul Bearer?
I mean, what can you say? I mean, Paul Bearer, a phenomenal manager, you know, one of the most iconic managers in WCW history. I mean, sorry, WWE history. I'm sorry. I'm still processing all this. I mean, what can you say about him? He was the most unique manager in professional wrestling history and did so much, you know, not just for the business of professional wrestling. He was the man who helped. I think he's the one who helped make the Undertaker character work, and did it so better than I think most anybody else. And he will definitely be missed. And he was such an amazing, and interesting person, and had such an amazing life. I mean, he was a licensed mortician, and he, from what I gather, even when he was on the road for years, he kept he kept his license active. And when he died, he was managing a couple of mortuaries out in Alabama.
Now, Nikki, let me go to you. You're a fan. You were a fan of the Undertaker character way back when. So, what are your thoughts about the passing of Paul Bearer, aka William Moody?
A lot of people have said things that I that I would have said. I thought he was going to. I figured he was going to be around for another 10 to 15 years. Now, I know that he had struggled for so long with weight issues, and I'm guessing that is going to be a factor in why he passed so soon. As being a extraordinary fan of Dead Man Undertaker, it was, you know, it was interesting to hear, to see Bearer as Taker's voice through the early stages of the career. And Brian's right. Paul Bearer helped make the Undertaker character through his actual background, and then through the slowly built kayfabe background that gave Undertaker his mystique. The roof had to have come off in New York in 2004 when Bearer walked out with Undertaker, when they brought the Dead Man back.
I'll give you a personal thing. If you remember that, okay, when Kane came out and was going, no, he was shaking his head, no, no, and then you hear the voice, and let me see if I can do this justice. Oh, yes! The place goes bonkers. You do remember that, right?
And I do. Yeah. Something you didn't you wouldn't have heard, Jason, because the place was going bonkers. The handheld that was following Bearer to the ring as Undertaker was coming out, you could hear Bearer yelling at Kane, including, "You're no son of mine!"
Oh wow. "You're no son of mine." Oh, okay. Brian, I'm going to go to you for just a second. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go back to Nikki. Do you have any favorite specific Paul Bearer moments or things that stick out, or why he worked so well as a manager?
He was good. He was good as a manager when he talked, and sometimes when he didn't talk. One of my favorite moments isn't on video. Not 2 weeks after WrestleMania 20, I attended a SmackDown taping. And this was the show where Eddie Guerrero stole JBL's hat, ran around the ring, had everybody put stuff in it, and then he threw it into the crowd. The show, I believe, ended on Eddie celebrating the fact that he had gotten one up on JBL. JBL gets on the mic and starts screaming for Eddie to come back out. Gong! Live audience gets a bonus of Paul Bearer and The Undertaker. JBL is standing there shitting his suit. Paul Bearer does not say a word through all of this. JBL carried it with his voice, but Bearer carried the segment by doing just a couple of things. Allowing JBL to acknowledge him by saying, "Mr. Bearer, will you please tell The Undertaker that I don't have a beef with him?"
Okay.
Bearer doesn't speak to Undertaker. He simply turns to the crowd and raises the urn. Crowd goes bonkers. He then turns back to JBL, who turns to the crowd wild-eyed and holds up the microphone and says, "Stop cheering for him! He's gonna kick my ass!" And he did.
I have a Paul Bearer story, if I may.
Okay.
Some of you may or may not know this. I've mentioned it many, many times, but I became a fan watching a promotion called Smoky Mountain Wrestling in the mid-1990s. And they very briefly were a developmental territory for the WWE. Well, the upside of that was that occasionally big WWE guys would come into Knoxville. And they did this big show in 94 called the Super Bowl of Wrestling. And Paul Bearer was going to be a part of it, and he was going to bring in The Undertaker. First of all, they did a great music video, which I can't find on YouTube, set to Don't Fear the Reaper. by
Blue Oyster Cult. Yep.
And they did the whole Undertaker bit. He threw his hat into the audience, the Undertaker. What I remember was Jim Cornette got into it with Paul, and Paul was ready to tear off his jacket to go beat up Jim Cornette. But just what amazed me about him was how he was one of the most underrated people during the Attitude Era, how he morphed into that, into a demonic character, and yet was still able to get heat. And was able to use like Nikki said, his own background to create the character of Paul Bearer. And I mean, he will be missed. The thing about his weight, he at one point I think weighed over 400 pounds. And when they signed
to five, actually.
Oh yeah.
Now if you remember correctly, I think this was during the Biker Taker era. So when Paul Bearer was stuffed into the concrete and quote unquote died on screen. That was not?
That was during Dead Man, because this was tied in with Uncle Paul and the Dudleys.
Right, okay.
Because I have somewhere the leaked satellite rehearsal when they were shooting Bearer's close ups.
Oh right, okay, because he wasn't in there.
Right.
One thing, though, is that so they signed into a Legends deal, and they said as a signing bonus, who will pay for you to get gastric bypass surgery. So that prolonged his life for several years, and he just lost so much weight doing that.
It was like 200. He lost like 200 pounds.
He did. And he was just such a phenomenal character. And even if you go back to his days in the 80s as Percy Pringle.
Right.
When he was a manager in Memphis and in Texas as Percy Pringle III.
Mm-hmm. Let me just move on to Josh. Sorry. Do you think the reason also why one of his works is that even though he was over the top, Paul Bearer was subtle in what he did?
I'm sorry. I really don't get it, man.
Get what?
Or what you're trying to put across.
What I'm trying to say is that the reason why Paul Bearer worked so well is that he balanced being this over-the-top demonic character with just subtle. You know, he wasn't... In other words, managers today could learn a lot by what he did.
Yes, absolutely. Especially... those that are currently in the WWE could learn so much from him. Well, I'm not too familiar with his days back when he was, though, Percy, so I don't know much about those days. But, yeah, even during the 90s, he could.
Tyler, what do you remember best about Paul Bearer?
Well, the one thing that I think a lot of people, especially the newer ones who have been recently introduced to Paul, is the fact that he was a legit and... I think until his death, he was a legit pallbearer, a legit mortician. And, you know, it wasn't just the gimmick. He really worked in a mortuary. He really knew his stuff. And he could really get into his character. You know, the ghostly, pale person, that wasn't exactly all of who he was. But it helped to add to the persona of Paul Bearer. And I think that just how much he has influenced, I think other managers can take a lot from Paul. And that doesn't mean they need to get into specific jobs outside of their managerial work. It means that they can get into their character. And Paul's was believable. You know, you thought he was that creepy mortician. And in reality, he was a mortician, not necessarily creepy. But... Just the way he was and his persona and that aura of him, and you were like, ooh, that's, you know, just when you hear that voice, especially when he returned, oh, yes, you know, that kind of thing sends chills down your spine, especially when there's been long periods of time where you haven't heard from him, you know, especially in the 2000s, you know, as Undertaker morphed into as Undertaker morphed into his various characters, and then morph back, you know, you can't have the Dead Man without some sort of appearance from Paul Bearer.
Now, let me segue into that. Nikki,
yes.
How is this going to... This may sound like a crazy question to ask, but I'm asking this anyway. How does this affect the Undertaker-Punk match, if at all?
To be honest, I think the only thing that they should do is that Undertaker staying in character will take time to reflect and speak on Bearer's behalf.
Will it be on camera?
I hope so, but I don't think so. I did want to go back on one thing with Paul Bearer. And what's fun about his character, since he was actually a mortician, there was something else that went with this, though. He took every myth that people have about this profession, threw it in a blender.
Yes.
And once that all spit out, he then combined it with this goofy voice.
Yes, that high-pitched sort of...
That haunting, this haunting voice.
He kind of put me in the mind of Peter Lorre.
Yeah, well, Peter Lorre was a little bit lower pitched, you know.
No, he makes me laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the point I'm getting to. Sometimes he was doing it just to see if he could get Taker to break character.
Yeah, yes.
And yes, fans, wrestlers will do stuff like this to rib each other.
Yep. It's amazing. I mean, I remember in the early days. Now, again, wrestling history, I need a little backup because I know there were so many twists and turns. Paul Bearer had someone buried in his house, and didn't Taker save? Was it Kane? Or was he about?
No, Kane and The Undertaker were playing with matches in the family's funeral home and burned the home to the ground.
No. There was an angle where somebody was in the mortuary, the house, and Paul Bearer was about to put him down for good, and didn't Taker save them? Or was it Kane who saved them? I don't know. But yes, in because there was, you remember this, Nikki, there was a novel that tried to put the history of the Kane and the Undertaker mythos in there, wasn't there?
It was mostly from Kane's side of it. Undertaker
It was called Journey to Darkness.
Yes, I actually tried to read this book.
Okay.
They will need a better writer, who's also a wrestling fan, to somehow string all of this Kane-tinuity back together. Even I had trouble in some of the writings that I've done on the side to figure out what I was going to do with Paul Bearer, and actually ended up having to borrow from the Like It or Hate It comic that was produced in 98-99 before he went biker.
Yeah.
Where Bearer was a warlock that he had some magical capabilities.
And he was going to officiate the dark wedding between The Undertaker and Stephanie McMahon.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. I have some more news that just a little more updating. I'm getting them from multiple sources here. Believe it or not, he and Michael Hayes were friends long before in the business. He was actually in the military. He was actually the manager for Rick Rude in World Class back in the day. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he signed in WWE in 1990. And the thing is that they wanted him back. Yeah, WWF at the time saved he paid for him the bypass surgery. And unfortunately, you know what? If you remember, he was not the same after his wife Diana passed away from cancer a few years ago. And, you know, this guy was just, he was one of the true characters in wrestling.
And you know, it's, and Jason, I hope I'm going to step over you, but, you know, in an age now where everybody, you know, wants reality and there should be no such thing as kayfabe and yada, yada, yada. He was great in that he had no problem playing a role. And he had no problem being a character that wanted to get heat. And, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just, it's just really sad.
Well, what's also is this was a guy who when he turned against The Undertaker and gave the urn to Mankind, everybody was like, no way. You know? You didn't do that. You can't go against The Undertaker.
What I remember was when he famously did the promo where he yelled, "You killed your family! You're a JD murderer!" And then Undertaker runs in, chokes, and goes, "Tell the truth!" My favorite memory was just him yelling at the top of his lungs, "I told the truth! Kane told me! He's alive, Undertaker!"
Yeah.
And the look on the Undertaker's face, to think, there's no way, he's dead. I saw him die, and bam.
Which led to the first Hell in a Cell match, Bad Blood 97.
And that was the first.
That was the first Hell in a Cell. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was the first Hell in a Cell match.
Oh yeah, Shawn and the Undertaker was the second one, I believe.
No, Shawn and Undertaker was the first. But it also debuted Kane, because Kane ripped the door off the cage and stared down the Undertaker.
And Vince McMahon famously yelling, "That's gotta be Kane!"
Yep, exactly. It's on the Hell in a Cell DVD. But, you know, and of course, but you know, it's very rare that a manager, Nikki, just has the impact that they do. You could put them on one hand. Freddie Blassie, Bobby the Brain Heenan, the Grand Wizard, and you could put Paul Bearer in that class, couldn't you?
Easily. Very easily.
You know, it's really just absolutely just sad. You know, he wasn't feeling well for months, and unfortunately, you know, we lost him way too soon. He was 58 when he passed.
No, the Bible, I don't want to get religious, but the Bible does say 70. Well, he didn't reach that. All we can say at this time is we want to give all of our prayers to the family of him. He was... I'm sorry. I honestly don't know what to say.
I'll end it with this. I'll just go around the table one more time. Josh, do you have any final words?
Unfortunately, I don't.
Tyler?
Well, as much as we prayed last year that we wouldn't lose another one, we know that Paul was a very religious guy, and we know that he believed very highly in the Bible, and I believe that he's managing the angels up in heaven, showing them how to lay the smack down.
Vicky?
He will be missed, especially by The Undertaker, who unfortunately has no way to pin Paul Bearer's demise when Kane rolled him into a freezer.
Oh, no, God. Yeah, well.
Sorry. Sorry.
You know, it's funny. How many times has Paul Bearer died on screen? What is it, about 3 or 4?
Well, let's see. There's throwing him in the freezer, throwing him off a balcony in Dayton.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he got the lips manless treatment.
The what?
The Concrete Crypt. It's from the Dick Tracy movie from 1990.
Okay. Yeah, the Concrete Crypt. Three turns anymore?
I think that's everything.
I can't think of one.
But
he was killed more often than Starscream. I'm sorry. I cope with humor.
Yeah, I mean, but you want to know something? I bet you the WWE will do a, if not this Friday, Monday. Has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was WWE, a lot of WWE's history, especially with one of the greatest, if not the greatest character of all time in The Undertaker. And, you know, I'm just wondering how Mark Calloway is dealing with this. And if he'll release a statement at all. You know?
Because if you guys notice, if you guys know, I think he's like the only guy who has never, ever broken kayfabe on WWE television.
No, he hasn't. Not that I know of.
Do you think he will?
I would, but that's just me.
Nikki, I don't think he will he?
Well, are we forgetting the promo that he cut after Survivor Series? Where he was essentially calling out Vince? Mm-hmm. After the screw job?
No, I don't remember. No, I don't remember that one. But okay. Nikki, you want to close it out, please?
Yes. We are all saddened by the passing of Paul Bearer, the man who walked The Undertaker to the ring, the man who supposedly taught him everything about the mortician business, the sorcerer who held the chains to the son of Cerberus. So may it only be the Undertaker who will encounter your body and say so slightly, rest in peace.